Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here once more for this wonderful weekly practice together. And every week we choose a different source, and this one is Justin's. And I'm so grateful, Justin, for your, I think I say this all the time, but for the kind of range of things that you bring and the, I don't know, the resourcedness that you are is so completely wonderful. So I love this source, and I'm so excited to get into the conversation with you. And if you're listening, you can always find the source on turningtowards.life. You can sign up to have us in your inbox weekly each time we do these things. You can sign up on turningtowards.life for that. And you can also find the source in the show notes if you're listening to a podcast, and you can see that maybe on your mobile phone. And obviously, you can always come and join us in the Facebook group if you're not already in the Facebook group, and listen to us live at 9 a.m. UK time on Sunday mornings. So, Justin, thank you for this source, and hello.
Thank you, Lizzie. Hello, and hello, everyone. I feel moved to say to everyone who's with us, you're so welcome to be with us. And if you want to talk to us, you can. So this doesn't have to be one way. We have email addresses, hello@turningtowards.life, or Justin or Lizzie at turningtowards.life. We would love to know how these conversations are impacting you. And if you feel moved to, if you're listening on a podcast platform, particularly Apple Podcasts, and you feel moved to write a little review and put stars in and all of that, it helps greatly in people finding their way to us. And one of the things that's been such a joy has been this sense of a growing community of people who found their way to this practice and this conversation, and who are coming on the inside of the big arms that are thrown around this. So we so welcome you if you're here, and welcome any way in which you introduce people who you think might benefit. And here is our source for this week. So this is, Lizzie, as you said, is in all the places that you can find this conversation. It's written by Bert Hellinger, who's the originator of an absolutely extraordinary body of work called Family Constellations, which I have found myself deeply, deeply interested in over recent years. And I found this actually, Lizzie, on in the Facebook feed of someone who I didn't know was connected to Constellations at all, who was writing about the kinds of things it would really help us to know so that we can take care of the world. And it's such a wonderful frame for reading and hearing this source, what will help us take care of the world rather than get caught up in our own ways of tuning out. And it's called What Life Does. Life disappoints you, so you stop living from illusions and see reality. Life destroys everything superfluous until only the important remains. Life does not leave you in peace, so you stop blaming yourself and accept everything as it is. Life takes what you have until you stop complaining and learn gratitude. Life sends you conflicting people to heal you so that you stop projecting and start reflecting who you are inside. Life lets you fall again and again until you decide to learn the lesson. Life takes you off the path and presents you with crossroads until you stop wanting to control everything and learn to flow like a river. Life puts your enemies on the road until you stop reacting. Life frightens you and startles you as many times as necessary until you lose your fear and regain your faith. Life takes away your true love. It does not grant or allow it until you stop trying to buy it with trinkets. Life distances you from people you love until you understand that we are not this body, but the soul that powers it. Life laughs at you many, many times until you stop taking everything so seriously and can laugh at yourself. Life breaks you into as many parts as necessary for the light to penetrate you. Life confronts you with rebels until you stop trying to control. Life repeats the same message, even with shouting and slaps, until you finally hear it. Life sends you thunder and storms, so you wake up. Life humbles and defeats you again and again until you decide to let your small self die. Life denies you goods and greatness until you stop wanting goods and greatness and you begin to serve. Life cuts your wings and prunes your roots until you need no wings or roots, but disappear into the forms and your being flies. Life denies you miracles until you understand that everything is a miracle. Life shortens your time, so you hurry to learn to live. Life ridicules you until you become nothing, until you become nobody, and so you become everything. Life does not give you what you want, but what you need to evolve. Life hurts and torments you until you let go of your whims and tantrums and appreciate just breathing. Life hides treasures from you until you go out to look for them. Life denies you God until you see God in everyone and everything. Life shortens you, prunes you, takes you away, breaks you, disappoints you, cracks you, until only love abides in you.
What life does. Life disappoints you, so you stop living from illusions and see reality. Life destroys everything superfluous until only the important remains. Life does not leave you in peace, so you stop blaming yourself and accept everything as it is. Life takes what you have until you stop complaining and learn gratitude. Life sends you conflicting people to heal you, so that you stop projecting and start reflecting who you are inside. Life lets you fall again and again until you decide to learn the lesson. Life takes you off the path and presents you with crossroads until you stop wanting to control everything and learn to flow like a river. Life puts your enemies on the road until you stop reacting. Life frightens you and startles you as many times as necessary until you lose your fear and regain your faith. Life takes away your true love. It does not grant or allow it until you stop trying to buy it with trinkets. Life distances you from people you love until you understand that we are not this body, but the soul that powers it. Life laughs at you many, many times until you stop taking everything so seriously and can laugh at yourself. Life breaks you into as many parts as necessary for the light to penetrate you. Life confronts you with rebels until you stop trying to control. Life repeats the same message, even with shouting and slaps, until you finally hear it. Life sends you thunderstorms so you wake up. Life humbles and defeats you again and again until you decide to let your small self die. Life denies you goods and greatness until you stop wanting goods and greatness and you begin to serve. Life cuts your wings and prunes your roots until you need no wings or roots, but disappear into the forms and your being flies. Life denies you miracles until you understand that everything is a miracle. Life shortens your time, so you hurry to learn to live. Life ridicules you until you become nothing, until you become nobody, and so you become everything. Life does not give you what you want, but what you need to evolve. Life hurts you and torments you until you let go of your whims and tantrums and appreciate just breathing. Life hides treasure from you until you go out to look for them. Life denies you God until you see God in everyone and everything. Life shortens you, prunes you, takes you away, breaks you, disappoints you, cracks you, until only love abides in you.
Thank you, Lizzie. Whilst you were reading, and there's so many lines here, you could take any one of these and open it up into a huge conversation. I could feel in myself this growing recognition that I know has become very important to me and very healing in me, of recognizing that I'm not God, but I'm also not nothing. That the repeated refrain, whatever was at the end of it, that life would, that there's something intelligent about life. It doesn't mean every something is filled with meaning that I can fathom, or even meaning that makes any sense, but that I'm really am genuinely part of and caught up in something that has a very deep kind of intelligence and that is much bigger than me. And it's so it's not all up to me. I don't have to be in charge of everything. That sense of being in something that is bigger than us and not having to be in control of it seems both enormously true and also a great relief. There's so much of my own, when I've watched my own places of getting stuck or getting fearful or getting desperate, they're usually of the order of there's something in life that I ought to be in control of that I can't be, but I'm trying to be. And I've got to sort of get a grip on it and have life go exactly my way. And it's a great help. It has been a great help to me to know that much of the time I can't do that, which is part one of it. But part two of it is to really trust that in the face of life being bigger than me, I'm not just in something that's completely random. It's about Hellinger's insistence that there's something going on here which is of value, whatever happens. And there's lots of different ways that people have of describing what that might be that I can be faithful to. I suppose my way of saying it is that life is up to something. It frankly may not be what I want, but it is up to something. And that it's my job to find a way to, it's my task to find a way to participate in it, to bring myself fully to it. So to not go really tiny and, but not to try to dominate it. I've been finding as I orient that way more, I'm less afraid, because a huge amount of my fear is the fear that I won't be able to control or deal with the thing that happens. So I've got to stop the thing happening, whatever it is. And realizing that there's lots that I can't stop happening, and that there's an opportunity for me to get with, to go along with life in some way, makes even the things that I'm most afraid about less fearful, because I get that they're really not up to me.
Well, for me, this is pointing to something that I think is maybe another way of the thing that you're saying, which is like this, you know, this sense or this understanding that, like, unless I align with life itself, unless I study the kind of attributes of life itself and see what I can do to live likened to life, it will have its way with me anyway. And it's quite a hard thing for me to describe, but I remember quite a few years ago now, when I broke my ankle, there was this feeling of like, oh, because I didn't pay attention to how fast I was going, how much I had on my plate, life stopped me. Like, I didn't stop, and so life stopped me. And ever since then, I've had this sense of like, if I'm missing some kind of awareness, life serves it to me without me seemingly being part of that. And so I've felt that if I can, I don't know, find the threads of what my distortions are, I can bring myself into a relationship with life in a different way, so that I can not have my ankle broken to show me what I'm really doing. and not as a way of a kind of a avoiding things happening or something, but just really realizing that these patterns will come and find me until I look at them. Like, I've got plenty enough of patterns in my life that I could face into and talk about and find out more about, that, as Bert Hellinger's suggesting, that they might not need to keep coming back if I learn the lesson they're trying to teach me. And so for me, this whole thing kind of points to this feeling that all of us has like a curriculum. And there's a line about learning. There's so many lines, isn't there? There was a line about learning in here, and it feels like that's the heart of it for me, is that if I can have my life be a system of learning, it won't have to keep pointing it out so harshly when I'm not learning. So, you know, you were talking about like closing the gap, I think, between what life itself is and what how we, our smallness is acting, interacting with it. And as we align with life itself, which in a way, Bert Hellinger is giving us an excellent instruction booklet as to what life wants, or what life does. If we can understand these sentences, for example, if I can acknowledge my fear and cultivate faith, it might be that I get less frightened and less startled as many times as I am, because I'm aligning myself more with faith. And so those things don't have to keep trying to pull me there.
When you were talking about your ankle and what you learned from it about stopping, and I was thinking about a time that, you know, Lizzie, in my life where I got really sick, and I know that I had my part to play in it. I was thinking, it's so easy to fall into simplistic accounts of this. So I think one of the simplistic accounts that we fall into, that I've certainly fallen into, and seems to me is taught by the culture, our culture at large, is something like life and we are actually completely separate. We're different things. We're different kinds of things. And so it's reasonable for us to expect to be in charge, completely in charge of our lives. That's one story. And another story is anything that happens is random, because we live in a cold, empty universe and it's got nothing to do with me. And it seems to me that the really helpful place to stand is in a sort of in the middle of the mystery, which is to recognize that so much of what happens we're participants in some way. And even if I'm a participant in it only 1%, you know, if I'm cycling, if I'm running down the road and twist my ankle, I could have the story of, well, this always happens to me and it's all my fault. Or I could say it's nothing to do with me. It was just a thing to trip over. But actually the place that really supports our deepening and our flourishing, and Bert Hellinger gets into this towards the end, where he talks about where we find that we just want to serve, or where we're filled with love. That place is the place, I think, which goes, I have a part in all of this. Because I have a part, because I'm not separate from life, because actually life is of the same kind of thing, that's not even the right word. I am of life and life is of me, and we're not different from one another. We're different in scale, for sure, but we're not different in nature. that whatever's going on in life, the right question, the helpful question is to go, how am I playing my part in this? And then getting ill or tripping and falling or anything opens up the possibility, not that we get into some kind of self-blame, I brought this all on me and it's nothing, you know, it's like I should just be ashamed and all of that, and it doesn't then bring about separation from life, and it also doesn't throw us into this impossible situation of going, everything's meaningless. But instead we can start to say, how am I living in the midst of this? And at that point, everything does become the opportunity for, I love this line about being broken into enough parts that the light can shine through. So there's a kind of simultaneous taking responsibility and letting go, like both at the same time. I'm big enough to be part of this and I'm small enough that it's not all up to me. And the line when I read it, but then particularly when you read it, and this for me is about this, I have to move the window here so I can see it because I want to read it. Life takes away your true love until you stop trying to buy it with trinkets. Finding the right size for ourselves allows us to really feel and own, I have a deep and sacred role. I have a place to play that means something. And the thing that I'm in the midst of is vast and way beyond my capacity to understand all of it. So I better stop trying to make cheap bargains with it, but instead sort of be in my life according to the majesty and grandeur of life itself, at which point we stop trying to buy it with trinkets and we start to sort of really take up our place, even when we're broken, even when we're grief-filled, even when we're confused, maybe particularly at those times, but also when we're joyful and love-filled and feeling grateful and filled with possibility.
Yeah, I noticed, Justin, when you were talking that when I find the time, we've talked about so many times that like everything's a process. And so I can feel the times in my life when things have happened. And of course, those definitions you were talking about, like I'm separate and we're in a random universe, all that kind of victim feeling of like it's being done to me and I've got no control over any of this and it's not fair and all that kind of thing. Like, it's not like that's not there. But I think what really occurred to me when you were talking is that's there, and then something else happens, which is, and now what? You know, what is my little part, my 1%? And as soon as I get into the conversation of what's my 1% or more, there is agency in me. Like I feel powerful in some way again, even if it's only a tiny bit powerful again. But there's this relationship to learning that feels so important here, that if as an interpretive being, I am as a human being, like I can choose how to interpret what's happening here. I have that power to say, this is happening to me and there's nothing I can do about it. Or I can have the power to determine that it's an opportunity or something. Like I have agency. And as soon as I tune into the thing that you're talking about of like life itself having intelligence, basically, like this isn't random, and I can find my little 1% path, just the beginning of it, all the possibilities shift. The action I can take shifts, the feelings that I have shift, the possibilities shift. So I feel like the world opens up again to me. Even if I just orient slightly towards, maybe there's some learning here for me, maybe there's something in it for me, there's actually for me from life, as this passage is so beautifully pointing out, that life really is for me, not against me. It's in service of me. The minute that kind of reorientation happens, the life kind of flows back in me again. and I'm central to myself again, and I can go, oh, hold on. It's not an easy path. It's not an easy path to say I have a part in this, but it's a powerful path, and there's possibility in it that isn't there when I'm that kind of frightened kernel of a life's happening to me. I just have to curl up and see what else is going to happen to me. It's a whole different orientation. And I feel so grateful for that, because you know, there's a part of me that goes, oh, well, you would say that because then it allows you to cope with all the things that happen to you or something. And maybe that's partly true, but it feels more honest to me to say that life is something I'm participating in. And as you said, I'm not that far from it. Life and me are of the same nature. When I can cultivate that understanding and that feeling, even just saying the words, I can feel like joy and possibility arising in me rather than tininess and stuckness and fearfulness and curling up into a ball and not knowing how to be in the world.
It seems to me that learning how to cope with what life brings us is no bad thing. So if, you know, in the one way of looking at it, well, that's just a story that we tell ourselves to allow ourselves to live in the midst of what we're living in. I would say, let's do it, as long as it feels like a truthful story and one that includes and opens. And
yeah,
but I'm really with you. I think it goes beyond this. And I've been thinking a lot about this recently. It's hard for us to see this, I think, until we have people who can show us this. And I've been fortunate enough to have some people showing me this recently, that the sort of cultural soup many of us swim in really does assume that we are quite different from life. So we humans think we're outside of nature, which is how we've been able to despoil nature and plunder it and all of, you know, as if it was nothing to do with us, as if we're some separate thing. If we're willing to really let ourselves feel the possibility that life and us are not different, then we have to start to allow the possibility that there is intelligence and intentionality in life itself, just like we have. I'm not really sure why it should be that we're the only ones. But that doesn't mean that it's intelligence and intentionality and love, as Bert Hellinger talks about, that's directed personally at us. So the thing that's happening to me may or may not serve my life. You know, enough of us get broken by life and can't figure out how it's anything other than suffering. But also, maybe one way of looking at it is that the great project of life itself is learning and discovery. And so that whatever I learn, I may not be able to make my life into a form where I go, yes, I have the life exactly the way I want it. I'm no longer afraid and I'm no longer sad and I have everything I want and everything I need. And you know, all those things that we long for, sort of like the mystical island where it's all going to be okay, that kind of thing. It may well not be possible to live that way, at least not for long periods. But if I can see that my tripping and falling my ankle, you know, breaking my ankle, hurting my ankle, or making a mistake or something happening is an opportunity for me to learn, and that by me learning, life itself learns too. And that's what we're all up to, is contributing to the flourishing of life itself. It also means that I can be equally committed to the process of bringing myself into life, but less attached to it has to go the way I want it. And at least for me, that's giving some freedom from the idea of being like I'm the only one whose life, because I'm meant to be able to sort of magic up the world exactly the way I want it. But a huge antidote to the sense of being the only meaning-making thing in something meaningless.
Gosh, what really impacted me in what you were saying, Justin, was that I have, you have, everyone has their part to play in contributing to what life is. It sounds really simple as I'm saying it. But I think it's possible to go through life with this narrative of separation and individuality. Yeah. That's not true. That I'm here and there isn't something bigger into which I'm contributing. It's so easy to think that, oh no, well, that's just all of the people in the newspapers or on telly are doing the contributing, or all the people who run the government are, you know, looking at the world and looking at where the power lies and thinking that that's where everything happens, and therefore that's nothing to do with me because I'm not powerful. It's so easy to think that there are some people who have power and some who don't. And of course, that's true in lots of ways. But this thing you said about each of us making a contribution as individuals to the whole, it completely made sense to me as you were saying it. And we all got born. The fact that we got born is the thing that allocates us the right to play our part in life itself unfolding, and all of us are contributing to that. And you know, you said at the beginning that this was maybe a way to reflect so we could take care of the world better. If I felt my own power as regards the environment and the beautiful trees and practices that we have with our natural world, if I owned my place in that, and each of us owned our place in that, the world would be different. And I know that as soon as I say that, the scale suddenly goes up and I think, oh my gosh, no. It's a hard conversation to have because of how we've defined ourselves as so separate and so one of so many. I mean, we are one of so many, 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 many. And so it's easy to kind of slink off into the background and think that is me doing my recycling going to make any difference at all? And then there's the piece where it makes every single difference in the world that arises at the same time. And I'm feeling that, as you said, I've thought, oh my gosh, yeah, I can feel that that's true of every single one of us, that we each have our part to play. And that isn't common. There aren't lessons on that. A whole system is set up to teach us the things that you were saying before of we're separate, we're individual, this is random. And I don't know, I feel a bit heartbroken about that in this moment, that there's a truth that's very much robbed of from us, that is innate at the beginning, that you can see in every alive little child who's playing, is that there's entitlement to the difference they're making with the watering can or the rake that they're using in the garden so involvedly. And then we somehow that gets taken away as we go. And then we have to reclaim it like we're doing now.
That's right, we have to reclaim it. We have to tell different stories. And I think we have to tell a different story to the story, the desperately punishing story that our culture, wider culture, keeps on giving us, that our life is only about us, my life is only about me. Mm-hmm. And it made me think, we're coming to the time that we have to end, and I was so moved by what you said about the moment we're born. The moment we're here, we're part of it. We're inescapably part of it. Not only, you know, what we water and what we rake, but I was also thinking about what we learn. Mm. Wouldn't it be a completely different way of thinking about learning? Instead of only thinking about learning, about how you get equipped to be a productive member of the economy, for example, which is the way that learning gets pushed so much now. If we also, yes, that, great. But if we also said, the point of learning is learning itself, because when you learn, life learns.
Yeah.
And if we looked at each new one who came into the world and each person we met as one place that life is happening, in that person, and it's our job to support that life in flourishing, in experience and in learning and in possibility and in facing things as they are, as Bert Hellinger keeps on telling us, that we contribute to life itself staying awake. It blows apart our wish to control one another and dominate one another and scramble on top of one another, or to feel so alone all the time. It's been a very beautiful conversation to be in, Lizzie. Thank you as always for being in this so faithfully and courageously and with such huge-heartedness. It's a great joy to be in this conversation. And thank you everyone who's with us for being with us in whatever way you are, whether it's once in a while or every week, you're so welcome. And all being well, we will be back again next week.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, see everyone. You next week.
Bye.
Bye.